I think the guy who's replacing Tulsi Gabbard, I don't know if he's Israeli or I don't know. I have no. His name is Aaron Lucas, if I'm not mistaken.
He might as well be Israeli. What does it really matter?
Yeah, it
At
doesn't
the
matter.
end
Yeah.
of the day.
They own Donald Trump. It doesn't matter who's.
Absolutely. And you know, people were saying in the operations room when Netanyahu come in, he would sit at the head of the table and Trump would sit at the side. Owned.
Yeah.
Very, very owned.
Yeah. How do you understand the way that Donald Trump withdrawing the troops from Germany and sending more troops to Poland? What is that? And what is the position of Russia in that?
That's very hard to understand, particularly because he just withdrew troops from Poland, the 82nd Airborne Division.
He's talking about 5,000 troops to send to Poland. Why is that? It's
Well,
so strange, guys. You know.
he was withdrawing the Striker Brigade out of Vilseck, Germany. I used to serve in Vilseck, Germany. I was in Third ID, Third. I'm sorry, not Third ID. Third Brigade, 1ID, the Big Red One, station in Vilseck. It's very hard to understand what he's doing, and if he'll actually go through with it. On the one side, though, Poland wants to be the biggest whore of America that of all the other whores of America. I'm your favorite. You slap me around. I'm your favorite. I am Mr. Pimp. I'm better than those others. Those others. That's kind of what Poland keeps screaming. Does it ever help Poland? Not really. No, never. I mean, Poland, let's not forget the Polish governments in the 90s built training camps and helped train the Ukrainian Nazis, whose grandfathers murdered 300,000 Poles. And don't, you know, if you don't have a strong stomach, don't look at the archival photos that they took. Because Nazis like to take photos of their victims. It doesn't matter. They're Germans, Ukrainians, Italians, Hungarians, Jews, Zionist Jews, they're all the same. It's the same mental disease. They love to take photos of their victims. I don't know what it is about it, but they do. And if you don't have a strong stomach for what for those types of atrocities, don't look at the archival photos of how they butchered the people, the Polish population in that area. They butchered a lot of what is now called Ukrainians too. If they didn't have the same political views as them. Overall, they killed about 1 million people. And by the way, they're now Canada is returning the remains of these various Ukrainian Nazis to be buried in a big memorial ceremony and a big memorial park outside of Kyiv, bringing home the Nazis. You know, Poland, well, the Polish people. I don't know why they keep voting for these idiots in government that they have for 30 years. They don't represent their interests. Poland is not better off than it was. Different amount of population. And feeding the Nazis, that, by the way, hate Poles almost as much as they hate us Russians. Yeah, you know, if you're hoping they all die on the battlefield, you're still going to have problems with them. And it's never that clean and cut. So I don't know. This is. Poland has been on a politically self-destructive route for 30 years, and they don't look like they're getting off of it.
By the way,
They
there are
want to be
many
occupied.
good people in Poland, but
Oh, yeah.
but the leadership and those people who are running the show, like Sikorsky, like the president, and these are problematic people, so much connected to the neocons in the United States.
Oh, Sikorsky, otherwise known as Mr. Applebaum.
Yeah.
Sikorsky was a British citizen. Sikorsky's son is serving in the U.S. Army. So he's a dual citizenship, and he's the foreign minister of Poland. You cannot have people like that in those kinds of positions with multiple citizenships. Sorry, one second. Reposition myself. This is the problem with old injuries. You know, we're they give us just huge wads of ibuprofen, 1,200 milligram of horse pills. You know, got a headache, mind took off your foot, go eat some ibuprofen, don't worry about it. Worry about it later. Not everybody got to live to later, but I did, and later came. So yeah. It flares up once in a while. Yeah, it's part of life.
So situation in Ukraine is heading, is headed toward escalations, or you see, because there were, from what I've seen and I've heard so far, there are a lot of pressures on Vladimir Putin because of the attack on that college dormitory in Russia, because on civilians by drones, Ukrainian drones. And how is that gonna play out for you, for Ukraine, and how, what would be the response from Russia?
There's a lot of pressure on Vladimir Vladimirovich for the attack on Moscow, for this, for that, and for everything. Look, the majority of Russian people, yeah, they want this war to end. They want this war to end with Kyiv flattened, Zelensky burning on a pyre, and the rest of them with their heads on spikes. And I'm being quite serious when I'm saying that. You know, you want to raise the presidential ratings up to close to about 100%, you put Zelensky's head on a spike. And I'm quite serious. The Russian people want blood. They really want blood. And I, you know, I was on RT today and we were discussing that. And I flat out said, you know, if I went to my neighbor and said, I want you to kill my other neighbor, and I trained that neighbor, and I put a loaded gun in that neighbor's hand, and I pushed him to go shoot that other neighbor, in any court of law, I am just as guilty of that murder as the guy that pulled the trigger. So following that, those parasites that sit in Europe, that European elite, are mass murdering bastards, just as guilty of every one of these crimes as the Ukrainian drone operator that drove that drone into a dorm with 17, 18-year-old kids in it, freshmen. Merkel is just as guilty, by the way, because she helped set this up, the stage, so she's not off on this, or Hollande. But definitely Macron, Merz, every little bastard around them, van der Leyen, all of them are guilty mass murders. Every single last one of those little brown is a Nazi bastards. You know, that the brown plague, that Nazi plague, they all are part of it. This is going to get escalated. It needs to get escalated into Europe itself. Look. Non-Russian Europe, we're 42% of Europe. You know, at this point, the gloves need to come off. Iran showed, you know, you slap around 13 American bases, and no, there's no nuclear war. It's time to start cleaning house. There's a Polish base across the border. That's the staging ground that needs to be wiped out. I'm talking about not hit, but wiped out. So there's a square centimeter of living grass left on it. There's Estonia, there's Finland, there's Latvia. There's drones flying directly through them, probably lifting off of them. Russian electronic warfare is turning them around and sending them right back at these idiots. And Finland suddenly, oh, it's all the evil fault of the Russians. Yeah, because, you know, we don't let the Ukrainian drones into our country. We use an electronic warfare, you turn the coordinates around. You feed it bad info and it turns a drone around and flies in the other direction. Or you just give it altitude adjustment so it crashes into a field. But it looks like Latvia is planning on having Ukrainians use 5 bases. Okay, you're now a direct participant of this war. Even if you allow enemy drones, what have you, to fly through your airspace without trying to take them out, you are now a direct participant of this war. It's not a proxy war. You are part of this war. It's a declaration of war. And if Latvia allows those bases to be used, those bases should be exterminated. Right from the face of the earth, and the Latvian government, the elites should be destroyed as well. The elites of Europe need to understand they will go meet Jesus a lot faster than they think they will. You know, they are the ones that should be targeted, not the people. because they feel safe. They feel they can make money off of this. They can stay in power off of this. And who cares if the little people get killed? It only becomes serious when it's them and their families under fire. That's the people, that's the parasites that rule Europe. That's the parasites that rule most of the West. And they are parasites. There's no money for your schools or your children, but there's plenty more money thrown in Ukraine because I get a portion of it back into my pocket. What else would you call that?
Did they stop talking with Russians? I'm talking about Americans, because yesterday Rubio said the talks are on pause. What does that mean? I don't know. Kirill Dmitriev is still talking with them, or what would be the outcome? What do we know about that? Is there any sort of discussions in Russia? How is that going on with the negotiations with Americans? Because after all, we know in the case of Europe, there is no way to negotiate with Europeans.
No, there isn't. No, there is. You put them down. You put your foot on their neck with your sword up to their throat, and then you start dictating terms to them. That's the only thing these European parasites will understand. They have no other concept. Look, yeah, look at the people that they want. Oh, we need to talk to the Russians. Three top front runners for being the negotiator: Kaya Kallas, Merz, and Merkel. You know, if Merkel hadn't gone to the media in 22 and told everybody how she fooled Putin and they were never serious about Minsk 1 and 2, they were just buying time so Ukraine could be ready for a big war with Russia, maybe if she hadn't said all that, she could have actually been one of those candidates. She had at least kept it to herself. But since her little deflated ego needed another boost, look how smart I am, and she went and said that, you know, who's there that you can trust on anything? Who in the West is trustable out of anybody in power? Well, outside of Fitzko, and maybe the Czech Bašić. Outside of those two, who's there that you can trust? There is absolutely not a single European leader worth trusting. Now, definitely not to turn your back on. Put a knife in the back instantly. I mean, that's all of the West. You know, you can't and when it comes to the talks with Trump, you know, they'll talk to him, but I don't, just like the Chinese, nobody trusts Trump. How can you trust a man that changes his opinion five times in a day? You know, I mean, what's he standing on today? What time is it? Has he had lunch yet? You know, is he hungry? I mean, what's his opinion today? God only knows. Spin the wheel. Roulette wheel. Let's see. Where do we land today? That's the administration of Trump. You cannot trust a man. You cannot trust anybody around him. You cannot trust anybody in the U.S. In any U.S. government position, including in Congress. Anybody that there's, what, one or two rational people left? At least on the Republican side, sure. On the Democrats, there's a few more that haven't been gotten rid of by the Democrats yet. But the vast, 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 vast majority of everybody in the U.S. government are sociopathic, parasitic Epstein elites. You're dealing with Epstein's client base. Who can you trust? You can't.
It's so tragic, by the way, what's going on. Yeah, it's, you know, I don't see anything positive coming out of Trump administration. They're just talking about the negotiations with Iran. Nothing. Yeah. It's all nonsense. Yeah. They're not, because it's impossible for them. These guys are incapable of negotiations. They're just talking the talks and not walking the walk.
I'm just wondering if they're even talking to an Iranian. Not part of the negotiation, but if they've even seen an Iranian in the last couple of weeks. I mean, it may be just Trump sitting there and put a mirror up there and go, yep, that's the best negotiation we ever had. I agree with you too. You know, people joke about that, but I don't know. I mean, these proposals get popped up and so on and so on. I mean,
no, the guy is hasn't not really changed. No, they're not negotiating when they're, you know, they send the vice president of the United States to Islamabad. Who was not, you know, J.D. Vance was not prepared to talk with Iranians. Right now, they're sending messages. Pakistan, Qatar. What is that?
It's like, you know what it is? When you're in second grade and you like a girl over there and you're afraid to tell her, and you write a note on there, do you like me? And you give it to a friend, here, take it to her. You know, that's kind of, it's what there seemed to be.
Silly. It's unbelievable what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, these are the signs that show that they're not serious. They don't want, I don't know what's in it for them. Because maybe he's manipulating the market. He's making a lot of money by these manipulations.
Absolutely.
That could be one of the reasons. He needs this.
Wait. Stop. J.D. Vance explained that Trump's not making any, he's not manipulating the market. He has people that do his investments for him. There's no insider here. There's no insider. He has people that do his investments.
Yeah. He said that Donald Trump himself is not doing this, but he has people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a rich man. He has people to handle his wealth. You know, and he's against any kind of corruption. Like, you know, you got 30 minutes put the short position in. I'm getting ready to come out, you know.
I think Paul Kerrick Roberts mentioned that. He said maybe in history of the United States, this is the first time they have a president who's doing business while he's in office, and he's making decisions, and many people around him know what's going on. They're going to bet, they're going to invest, they're going to do this and that, making a lot of money. So the chaos is helping him. No, people are talking about it. He doesn't care. He himself said he doesn't care about the financial system, financial problems of the American people. Who cares about those people? He's building the ballroom. His company.
$1 billion. A billion. You know, I mean, I understand there's base. There's bunkers underneath that ballroom. For $1 billion, and he flaunts it. You know, when the average American can't afford fuel for his car anymore, or let alone, you know, meat. And this guy is constantly, it's $1 billion. That's not real money. It's $1 billion.
And his sons are producing weapons, missiles for war.
His sons are his sons and his son-in-law are producing land contracts when they go to, quote, negotiate, for development is what they're doing, plus Woodcock. I mean, look at the lead negotiators of the United States. I mean, for God's sakes, Kushner and Woodcock are the smartest two negotiators in America. Well,
they know nothing about the nuclear program. They know nothing about the nuclear negotiations. They just went there to talk. And they thought that it's going to be something about the money, but there is no money in that. This is the problem.
Oh, but they're very good with the Arabs. You know, just go up there, hey, we need $100 billion.
Just imagine going there, talking with Iranian Foreign Minister Araghchi, who was part of the negotiations during JCPOA, who knows each and every angle of the nuclear program and negotiations, and talking with Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, who just came out.
It's dumb and dumber, man. It is dumb and dumber. Mirandi was telling me, Professor Mirandi, Saeed was telling me that, you know, he was watching J.D. Vance, you know, call Netanyahu some four times. So the vice president of the United States in negotiating a peace deal is calling and getting marching orders from Netanyahu.
There is no dignity there. There is no.
Oh, Netanyahu made sure the world knew about it, too. I mean, this is a shaming exercise. put you in your place, little Mr. Vance. I'm your daddy. You know, who's your daddy? I'm your daddy. Boom. You know, this is ridiculous. But you know, when the Republican Party is a foreign agent. Yeah. They might as well just change the flag. You know, yeah. They're at it. At least put the Israeli flag next to the US flag in the White House. You know, or over it.
But Donald Trump is receiving a lot of GCC countries are not, you know, in a good position right now. They're feeling a lot of pain. Their economy is shrinking. They cannot sell oil and gas, fertilizers, all just. That's why I think Donald Trump is somehow pretends that he wants to put an end to the war, at least. But that's not going to happen. Oh. That's not going to happen anytime soon.
You know, the neocon faction out of the three factions. So you have the neocon, you have the Zionist Jews, and you have the Zionist Christians. It just steadily getting more insane as you go down that lane. The neocons are just, you know, they're just plain greedy. They want to own everything and rule everything. Yeah, but you can understand human greed. You can actually negotiate with human greed. Kagan put the second article out. You know, basically, they got the war they wanted, and it didn't go anywhere near what they thought it was going to be going. And if anybody logically looked, not just the first strike capabilities, but long protruded war, which includes, in this case, of course, if it's a long protruded war, it includes, you know, things like munition production. If anybody looked at that, they wouldn't have gone to war.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have never gone to this conflict, but they went because they were all betting on 3 days and it's out, which is incredible because they've tried that in a much more efficient manner. They tried and accomplished, killing off a large chunk of the Iranian leadership back in July. And what were the results? Yeah, exactly. So why do you think repeating that in a much smaller, confined scope is going to give you anything better? But they bet everything on a three-day exercise. And they bet badly.
Yeah, let's see what would happen. And no sign of any sort of progress so far.
Yep. The best thing Trump can do at this point is walk away. The oil shock is here. I mean, the only reason it's not as bad as it could be is because everybody's feeding off of their reserves. But those reserves, you know, the reserves for the UK, Germany, and France are all expect to run out in the first half of June, maybe mid-June. So about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. That's it. They're buying up the American, you know, when Trump's, all these ships are coming in, all these tankers to buy up oil, we have excess oil. No, you have, U.S. is a net importer of oil. What you have is your reserves that you're just dumping on the market. And those were only at 50% or so from before COVID. And when that runs out, when you're not even using your national reserves for your nation, you know, all these other Eastern countries, they went to China and said, yeah, can we buy off your reserves? And China said, no. Yeah, this is the grasshoppers bouncing at the, as winter's coming. Knock, knock, Mr. Ants, can you give me some food? No.
<Yeah. laughs>
Why didn't you build up your reserves? Oh, you didn't think you needed to. Well, you know, we did. So bye-bye. Survive the best you can. But the U.S. is quite the opposite. The grasshoppers came bounce up there. Sure, take everything you want. Mm-hmm. You know, and screw my other ants in my ant nest. You know, they don't need it. So at this point, if I was in the American people and understood anything economics, I'd be getting very worried and upset.
Pakistan is doing this right now, Sus.
Yeah.
Pakistan.
Yeah. If you're not angry yet, go climb under a rock. You'll never get angry.
Yeah.
You know.
And if the war, by the way, if they start a new round of war. It's gonna, Iran said it's not gonna be regional. It's gonna go beyond the region. And I'm sure that they're gonna hit something in Greece, Diego Garcia, maybe Germany, Romania, maybe all these countries are.
Well, they can't reach Romania, but I mean, no, I'm sorry. They can't reach Germany, but they can reach Romania. Yeah. There's a big NATO base there. But it doesn't have to go. It can stay regional. If you take out the electric power capacity in most of these countries, that's it. You know, there's no war. Let's just begin with that. It's 45, 50 degrees right now. Kuwait gets up to 55. You know, I've been in 50 degree heat. That's a up in Kazakhstan, Kazakhstan, those areas, Western Kazakhstan along the Caspian will get up to 50, 55. Most of the time it's 40, 45. And then winter's minus 30, of course. We're a little bit different than that, those areas. But man, you know, 50 degrees, the last thing you want to do is put on a flak as body armor, grab a whole lot of equipment and start trying to run. You know? And the worst is, in the Kazakhstan where I was working, it was a dry heat. In those areas, if you're trying to grab an island or two or what have you, man, it's 100% humidity and that kind of heat. Oof. You're going to have heat casualties left and right, let alone bullets and drones. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Trump is thinking. I don't think anybody. I don't think Trump knows what Trump is thinking.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
It's like you hit in a computer, auto generate a message. Whatever
it's
to
random.
See,
it's random. Yeah,
random words get put together and try to figure out what the random words this week are going to be or this hour. I think that's somewhere there's an auto generator in Trump's mind that this kind of works that way. We laugh, but I mean we're in very dangerous
We
waters.
Laugh, but it's tragedy. Yeah, it's a tragedy. It by people are getting killed, murdered by these policies.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And we're in extremely dangerous waters.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Asaf, for being with us today. Great
always
pleasure.
A pleasure.
As always.
Sorry I was bouncing around. I got kept having to move the foot around.
Understandable.
it'll be okay in a couple of days.
Yeah. Thank you.
The unfortunate part, you know, that some injuries they'll let themselves be known for a while, like the rest of your life.
See you soon.
Yep. Cheers.
Bye-bye. Cheers.